Hello, hello. Listen, everybody's got a story. Everybody thinks they're special, but most people can't tell you why, or they're too scared to say it out loud. So this show is for the ones who know that there is something on their life, a message, a pull, a calling that they have or haven't fully stepped into yet. So I am Brandon, and this is Listen, Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. Okay. Not a show to necessarily hype everybody up, but to get relatable and get honest. You know, the harder we work, the luckier we get. So today I'm asking the one question that most people avoid their entire lives. Tell me why you're special. And today in the hot seat, we have Chris Shurian. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Brandon, how are you?
I'm so good. Did I say your last name correct?
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
Okay.
Nice. Thank you.
That's so good. Before we get deep, let's ground people in who you are. Not the resume, not the polished bio, but you got 30 seconds, you're in an elevator. Someone, this person you're in the elevator with is someone who needed exactly what you offer. What would you say? Who are you? Who are you for, and how do you help people?
Wow, that's a great way to introduce myself. 30 seconds in an elevator. I am a champion of entrepreneurs. I've been an entrepreneur for 39 years, and I have had as many failures as I've had successes, and I've had them both. And now my platform is called Bootstraps and Battle Scars, because I want to help entrepreneurs. And every battle scar I have is some failure, some lesson learned. And I feel like I can put that to work and help other people maybe avoid some of those pitfalls and help them avoid their own battle scars. But that's a tricky one because people need to learn their own lessons, don't they? But if I can give them a little bit of direction, why not?
Yeah. Or not even the direction, right? I think what's amazing with the battle scars and pulling up the bootstraps, it's doing the work anyway, and you're in the arena, we're all getting our ass kicked. And I think just having that relatability for someone to see someone else and to be like, man, it doesn't always feel good, does it? Like, this sucks sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I have clients that sometimes they just need to like me to tell them they're great, good enough, and tell them they can do it, and tell them they can get it done, and get out there and fight. And sometimes they just need that. And if I can do that for them, then that's a win, right?
Yeah, I love that. So I feel like most callings, I'm not saying every, because I'm not a fan of absolutes, but most callings don't come from comfort. They come from collision. So my next question is, what happened in your life that made this work personal? Like, the moment where it stopped being interesting and it's just necessary. This is your purpose, no choice.
I've always loved serving other people and taking care of other people. So every business that I've had a few, have always revolved around the customer experience and making people feel special. If someone comes in my restaurant with their family, I want them to have a good time. I want them to walk out of there thinking that was cool, the food was great, what a cool place, and I want to come back. And so after I had my last exit, I got out of the restaurant business. I'll tell you what, that's a business. I decided to focus on helping other people even more. I've always been a mentor. I've always been kind of a coach. I've spoken at universities and their entrepreneurship program, and I felt like this was an opportunity for me to give back. And if I can sit down, one of my mentors told me one time, a wise man learns from his experiences, and a super wise man learns from the experiences of others. And if I can look at some of my battle scars and help other people understand that this is normal, that you're gonna have bad days, but they're just temporary. Like, I address every failure, every bad day as temporary, because I know I'm gonna come out the other side, and I'm gonna be stronger, and I'm gonna be better. And if I can coach other people to feel that way and think the way I think, because I've got this crazy, optimistic, persistent mindset. And if I can help people feel that way and push forward, then I've had success, and it makes me happy.
Yeah, I love that. So I feel like a little bit of us stepping into our potential and calling, I feel like it's a little bit selfish, because I like those messages too. I like the ones where they're like, wow, this message hit hard, or to be able to coach someone through the breakthrough and be able to watch the shift happen is a little selfish, but I think it's incredible. So you talk a lot about, or you've said failure quite a bit, and I am a firm believer in that it's not really a failure unless you quit.
Yeah,
Quit. So what has been, I call them lessons. So in what you call failures, what has been like the hardest lesson for you in this journey? Biggest failure.
Yeah, and it's funny, Brandon, because I don't like the word failure, and because I feel the same way as you. I use that word because people resonate and people can relate to it, but I'm not a big fan of saying failure. I look at every experience, whether it's good, bad, pretty or ugly, as just, an opportunity to get better. So I don't dwell on failure at all. But probably, my biggest lesson learned was from the recession of 2008, 2009. I mean, I had built a pretty successful little empire of my own. We were having great success. It was in the construction industry, and being the super optimistic and persistent person that I am, I'm always pushing forward. I'm never looking back. I'm always pushing forward. And when there was some grumblings of this recession and the economy was getting weird and real estate and construction was kind of getting funky, well, what did I do? My brain told me to double down and keep going. And it turns out that was a bad decision. Okay. 'Cause I got my ass handed to me. But once again, I never quit. I dealt with it. This is when I started training for Ironman, and which was a like this godsend that got me through those couple of years of dealing with the bankers, dealing with the creditors, dealing with, the things that were going bad because of this recession. I could get up every morning and go run or go swim or go bike and do something I'd never done before. And I could start every day with a little victory. And it was like, I already started the day in a win. And so now I can go conquer and go deal with the bad stuff. And that helped me. And I was, training for an Ironman, you're doing things that you never have done before, and that maybe your brain just doesn't understand. Like when your coach says, go run 10 miles, and you're like, wow, okay, I've never done that before, but I'm gonna go do it. And then the next week he says, okay, go run 12 miles, but run it fast. And you're like, wow, I've never done that before. But you get to a point where your mind is like, okay, why not? Let's go do it. Let's go do an Ironman. And so, what did I learn during that 08, 09? I learned one, that I wasn't going to quit. I wasn't going to give up, that this was just a blip on the map of my life journey, and I was going to push through it, and I was going to rebuild myself, and I was going to learn from some lessons from that. And if I've learned lessons from it, then it wasn't a failure. I can push forward and keep going. So I didn't quit, not at all. And I rebuilt my empire. It happens, right? I'm not the only one that's ever done that, but it's doable, absolutely doable.
I love that. And you said a couple of things that definitely resonate with me. Number one, you're saying it was a godsend. So he gave you a message, you took hold of that. And another thing, that I talk about on my own show is like regulating your nervous system in when the shit's going down, and you were in the shit and you were regulating your nervous system because you were doing something different for your brain. You're changing the neuroplasticity. You're not sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. You're not ruminating on, oh my God, the wall, the sky's falling. You actually did something for your brain. You heard the call. So I love that. I respect that. And I mean, you're a badass for that because 10 miles, I don't know if I have a coach that could talk me into running three. So that's incredible.
I gave a presentation the other day to a group, and I talked about my Ironman experience and what an effect it had on my mind. And I went back to high school, and I remember playing high school football. Every year, the very first day of practice, we had to run a mile. And it's like, oh shit, like all summer long you're dreading, I gotta run a mile. I gotta go around that damn lap 4 times. And I'm a big kid, right? I'm like, how in the hell am I gonna do that? Well, that was then. Then all of a sudden, I'm doing an Ironman. I'm running 26.2 miles after I just got off my bike and rode 112 miles. I mean, this fat kid doesn't do shit like that. And so it was my coach that walked me through that process and got my brain working and to a point where I can do it. And I mean, talk about crazy. I mean, yeah, that was a huge, huge experience. And Brandon, at that same time, not only was I, losing all my business, losing everything. Now, I have to admit, there's some things I did right along the way that prepared me and kind of softened the blow to get through that disaster. And I have to remind myself that I did some things right. Okay, so I did. But at the same time, I was separated. I was going through a divorce. At the same time, I was leaving my religion at the time that I'd been very involved in for 25 years. And so all these things were happening to me at the same time. But you know what? I never once told myself that I was doing something bad or doing something wrong. I never once let myself get down and beat myself up over making bad decisions. I mean, I really kept this mindset of, I could do this, I can push through this, and there's always something better on the other side. And I did. I totally did it. I got there. And now I'd like to think that that was the end of my trials and tribulations, and that was the end of my, learning moments, but they happened again. I built another little empire, made a couple mistakes, hired a few people I shouldn't have hired, and man, I got hit again just a few years ago. And and shit, you got to tell yourself that, you know what? Okay, here we go again. Let's do it. And you get through it and you keep moving.
And I think
You
that's the incredible part about being like what success is, right? You're never going to get it right 100% of the time. But what makes people different and what has you standing out as someone that is incredibly special outside of the fact that you are superhuman for Iron Man. Like,
No.
I don't have anybody that's going to be like, I don't think my listeners are quite there yet. But like, it's the fact that you get up every single time and you just keep going. And what do you think makes it different for people like us, where we just can't stop no matter how many times we failed? It's not like there's no other option. The only other option is to move forward. So what do you think is different between us and a lot of people who stay stuck in their story and stuck in their excuses and afraid of the failure? Like, they are so afraid of failure and they've never even tried anything. What do you say to those people?
You know, that's interesting. I don't know why I am the way I am. I suppose there's a certain amount of, I've been wired a certain way, but I also think I, exposing myself to mentors and people around me in my inner circle that think that way, and watching them and watching how they operate, and saying to myself, man, I kind of want to be like that. Reading. I'm a huge reader. I would read all the time. I remember back way back in the day when I first started in the professional world, I'd get the Tony Robbins tapes, cassette tapes. Now you're probably way too young to know what
Oh,
those
that's where I started. Are you kidding me? That's
are.
exactly the beginning, the origin story.
Yeah, you get the cassette tapes and you listen to them, you listen to them. And I'd be driving down the freeway in Los Angeles, going to the office, and I just listen to the tapes, and I just fed this good stuff into my mind, and it changed me. It reprogrammed the way I think. And I think I've always been positive. I don't know. I mean, I've always been pretty good that way, but I think I kind of reprogrammed my brain a little bit, feeding it all this good information. And just this whole mindset that whatever you can, whatever you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. The old Napoleon Hill quote. I really think that's true. So, if I'm going to give somebody a pep talk, first of all, I'm going to say, feed your brain with good information, read some good books, listen to some good books, surround yourself with people who are just kick ass and don't take no for an answer, and just do it. Just go and do it. It's not that, I don't know. That's weird. I don't really surround, I don't know people like that, Brandon. I don't spend a lot of time in those circles, but I do have family members. I have, okay, here we go. I've got kids. I've got kids. And I think my kids watch me. And now we have a daughter-in-law who is a pretty significant social media influencer. She's doing really well, but there's a certain negative kind of approach to life that I wish I could just, man, I wish I could just kind of say,
With this.
that's not how it works. And you know how kids don't listen to their parents' advice very well.
No, not at all.
So I try to be an example. My wife and I have talked about it. We try to lead by example. And you're not going to catch me bitching and moaning around the coffee table. Oh man,
You.
that was a good one. I actually just picked up a little cold thing this morning, so you're getting me at my best with my throat lozenges and my my
Like,
tissues right there. I have tissues right there just in case. But yeah, that's just how I think. That's how I'm programmed, and so I try to be a good example to people around me. I try to help them understand very gently, without sounding like I'm giving advice, that for every negative, there's a positive. I think Wayne Dyer used to talk about how you can look at anything, like you can look at the snow or the rain, and you can say, you know, I appreciate the snow or the rain because, you know, that's going to make our summer and our spring so much better. So when it's raining outside, it's a little inconvenient. I'm looking at it as this is awesome because we're going to have my lawn's going to be green in a couple months. And that's just how I look at things. And I've had to train myself to do that, but now it's just habit.
And the training part is real because I've done the same thing. As a kid, I had the chip on my shoulder and I was angry about everything. And I'm like, why are you looking at me? Like some
Oh.
stranger randomly, like, why are you looking at me? Like just so toxic and reactive. And for the longest time, probably, I mean, since I was 16, probably, like I just was like, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. So why don't I look at everything that's good? And I think that's incredible that you do that. What part of your story still feels tender or like took the longest to admit was shaping how you show up right now?
Huh. Well, let me answer that question. Probably what I'm hearing is like, you know, here I am. I'm 59 years old. I've had a long career. I've had a lot of successes. I've had a few, you know, not so good days. And so, there are times when I sit back and think, you know, I should probably be in a little bit different financial position today. And if I'm not careful and I dwell on that and I start looking back at things that I wish I would have done differently, I don't, that doesn't serve me right now. That just kind of puts me in this mode of like I'm a failure. You know, when I have you know, I'm doing okay. I live a nice a good quality life. I've been blessed. I have a beautiful wife. I have a great family. But you know, financially, I'm not at a point where I can retire. I'm not at a point where I can retire and live the life I want to live. And so if I were to dwell on that and think about, oh man, had I done this differently or that differently, I'd be in a different spot. But I don't do that. That doesn't serve me one bit. And so for now, what I do is I just keep looking forward and say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep, you know, working for success. And you know, when my friends who are my age or retiring and running off to Mexico or whatever, great, good for them. You know, do I wish I could be there to a, you know, certain extent? Maybe, but so I think your question about maybe, I don't know if I even answered your question, other than that's probably a little bit of a sore spot for me that I've done all the things I've done. I've made millions of dollars, I've lost millions of dollars, and here I am today. But you know, what am I going to do, Brandon? Well, I'm not going to go live in a retirement home and just I've always got to be working. I'm always going to be doing something. And so doing what I'm doing now, it almost feels like I'm in retirement, and the way I'm helping other people and I could take this position in my life where I can serve others. And you know, it's I don't have employees, you know, hallelujah, which is really nice. And I've eliminated a lot of stress out of my life, and I'm enjoying it. So I'm really enjoying what I do, and the money always shows up. It always does. I've never gone without, and I'm just going to keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a thing that a lot of people can relate to because I feel the same way. And I think it's the people that have that forward momentum, like we always have to be doing something, or I always have to be creating something. I have 1,000 ideas at once. I can never just do nothing. Like it's not in my thing. But at the same time, I think that's a little double-edged sword for people like us because we're always like, we could have been doing better. And that it's a
Right.
slippery slope. And it, you do have to train yourself to have the awareness to not backslide because of it, to not freeze, to not, beat yourself up. And I commend you for that. Has it always been easy for you just to be like, nope, don't go there? Or have you had moments where you're just like, I need a breather because this is too much?
Yeah, I've had moments. I've had moments. They're pretty
Few and far between.
well. Few and far between, right? Okay, yesterday, you know, this week's been kind of a funky week, right? I've had a few opportunities fall through, and maybe it's because I've got this cold thing brewing. But you know, I woke up yesterday morning. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I don't need. I'm going to take the day off. I don't have an appointment till 4 o'clock. I'm going to go in the shop and I'm going to work on the Harley, and I'm just going to check out. I don't want to go sit in my chair. I don't want to sit in front of my computer. I just want to take a break. And sometimes you have to do that. And I did. I went out yesterday and spent 4 or 5 hours just tinkering in the shop, and I, you know, I came out of there a little more pep in my step, and I got on my 4 o'clock meeting and had a good meeting, and I got on my 6 o'clock meeting and had a good meeting, and away we went. And now we're back at it, you know. And today's Friday, and tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and it's gonna be awesome. My wife is a complete rock star, and I get to hang out with her.
Nice. That's amazing. I thought you were the coolest person ever till you said you drive a Harley. And I drive an Jeep, so it's a little, now I'm judging you a little bit. I'm like,
Brandon,
one
come on.
of
What are you talking about? How can you not?
them. Indian. Oh my God, my bike is so cool. Like breathtaking. I just am obsessed with it.
Well, Brandon, we can still be friends. I mean, Harleys and Indians can kind of get
I
along. If
still
you're
kind of,
saying I,
I'm just
if
gonna
you,
side eye you.
I
You
mean, if you're gonna ride a Honda or a Kawasaki or a Yamaha or some crotch rocket thing, that then we'd have a problem.
Yeah,
But we can get along.
sure.
We can hang out in Sturgis together.
Yeah.
Because you'll be on an Indian, I'll be on the Harley.
That's so funny. What is the next version of your calling? Do you have, I mean, what's in the works for you? What is coming?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the middle of it right now. This is my deal right here is I'm doing the one-on-one coaching, which I enjoy that. I love it. I facilitate what I call Founders Exchange, which is a very high disciplined mastermind group for business owners. And I create a safe space where business owners can come in and just talk about the hard stuff, whether it's good or bad. I mean, there's certain things in your life. For example, Brendan, you're having really successful days and you're probably having some bad days. And there's some things that you don't have anyone to talk to about it. It's very lonely at the top, right? Well, our Founders Exchange is that safe place where owners can come in and just talk and share, and there's some rules to engagement in that, and that's been a lot of fun. I'll have, you know, usually 8 to 10 members of each group, which is really great. I'm doing my own podcast. I mean, you're like the podcast queen. I checked you out, Brandon. I went and I'm like, wow, she's got it going on. And I'm just getting started. It's called Bootstraps and Battle Scars, and I interview other entrepreneurs just to hear their stories about their bootstrapping and their battle scars. And then, you know, I'm writing a book.
What? That's amazing. What is the book about?
I've got two books.
Okay.
Okay. Now, don't judge, okay? Because
Well, you
I
can't do worse
heard.
than the Harley. So
Okay, so let's get past that just
it's
for a minute. One book is called Lead with Grit and Grace. It's my what I how I interpret great leadership and how great leaders share these common traits, and I turned it into this acronym of GRIT, GRITT, and then Lead with Grit and Grace. A lot of times when I say lead with grace, people think that I'm talking about giving other people. Oh, look at that, I zoomed in, giving other people grace. Well, it's about giving yourself grace. When I say lead with grit and grace, I'm like, look, you're not going to get it right all the time. You're going to have these moments. You're going to stub your toe, but give yourself grace, get yourself back out in the game, and get to work. And then the other book I don't have a name for yet, other than right now it's called Business Basics 101. I mean, I see so many young business owners that like are missing some very simple basic principles to how to run a business. And now for me, it seems simple because I've been doing it so long. So I'm writing a book that's like, hey, you have a business? It's written like in third grade level English of these are the things you need to do in your business if you want to have any chance of success. And those are the two. And so I've got pretty good outlines for both of them. And now it's time for me just to get writing.
Yeah, that's the easy part. You already have a book published.
No, I just have outlines.
Yeah, the writing, I'm telling you, is the easy part. And then after that is where you really get challenged. And it's like a whole, I can't even explain it. I can't even put it into words. It's an experience. Like it's like
And
having a kid.
you have a couple books.
I do five actually. And
Five books.
yeah, number six is written. I just need to edit, and that's like my nemesis.
Wow.
I'd
Yeah.
rather clean the house
See?
than edit books. So.
You're impressive, even if you ride a Indian. That's pretty
Yeah,
impressive.
I know, right? See?
It's impressive. Yeah, you just totally blew my mind. Like,
Yeah.
how could somebody on an Indian be so successful and motivated?
Exactly.
Amazing,
Exactly.
amazing.
Because we are, Yeah, I don't know what makes us different. I just know, you know what I think it is? I think I've just seen so many of them, and it was like this whole, I don't know what my deal is, but I'm just like, everybody has one. So I want something nobody has. Like, I could drive this in my little, I'm in Michigan, right? I could drive in my little tiny towns, and like, no one has a bike like mine. Nobody. But I pull
You
up,
know,
there's 100 Harleys.
I can respect that because
Yeah.
I'm kind of the same way. Like, I can never have anything stock. Like,
Yeah.
nothing. Like, my Harley is not obnoxious and, like, one of those, some of those Harleys that you can't even ride down the road.
Right.
But it's custom, and I think people notice my Harley and think, okay, that's cool Harley, right? And I can go. But man, you go to Sturgis and what? There's always something, it's like
Out
owning a
of the box.
boat or whatever. There's
Yeah,
always
exactly.
something better and whatever. But yeah, but I can hear that. I can hear that. I respect that for sure.
I just never want what everybody else has. Like, if everyone's going left, I'm going to go right. Just, it's the rebel in me.
Of
But
course you are. Like, how many of your tattoos are something that someone told you shouldn't do?
well, tattoos I never should have had, but I do make sure it's all custom. You know, there's
Yeah.
only one that matches, and that's my girls and I got the tattoos matching. So that's an exception.
That's cool,
Yeah.
right? That's cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't start my tattoo journey until I was my first Iron Man. That was my first tattoo was
How old were you?
I was full 40, 45 when I
Okay,
got my
I
first
started at
tattoo.
35.
Yeah, and my daughter is well on her way. I think I have been setting a good example for her. I don't know. But
That's
you start off with the one
and
that
then
says Iron Man, and then next thing you know, you've got the sleeve going, right? And it's like this my personal journey, and it took me years to
yeah.
plan that out. So I think it's awesome. I love it. I love it. And I love to talk to people about their tattoos. I think, I've had my office manager, for example, we were talking about it one day, and she's like, "Well, I see these tattoos on people, and they're just so fascinating. And I mean, I wish I knew the story." And I'm like, "Well, go ask them." Like, most people that have a tattoo usually are happy to talk about it. So go
That's
treat
so
them like a normal human being and say, "I love your tattoo. What does it mean?" And they're going to talk about it, right? And she's like, "Really? I can do that?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's
That's so
cool."
funny. Full confession, okay? I put out a video probably 8 years ago saying, stop asking me about my tattoos and I don't want to hear the list of yours because it gets exhausting. It really does. Just genuinely, it does get like, okay, yes. But I don't have stories either. Maybe that's the thing. You know, I haven't done Iron Man. I don't have stories. I just got tattoos and all I said was just give me something original that nobody else is ever gonna have. Like there's no emotional, like, you know, so maybe that's what makes it different for us. Like yours are fun. You have a storytelling thing. I'm just like, meh, I just got them, you know? So
Well, yeah.
there it is.
And you do ride an Indian and you're just gonna do what you're gonna do and who cares?
Do it. Who cares? I
And
do want to talk.
that's a healthy way to approach life. So way to go.
I
Good
do
job.
want to talk about your podcast though, before we cut, you know, start to close out here. First of all, when did you start it?
In November,
Okay, congrats.
I've recorded 12 episodes.
Nice.
I've kind of released three. Getting ready to release my fourth one. I really don't know what I'm doing, but it's fun. I have a little studio that the guy records it, so it looks super professional, and I've got a super professional sound and stuff. And yeah, it's been cool and it's been fun. I've had my friends in there who are entrepreneurs, and I've had them tell their stories. And what's cool is there's been people on my podcast that I've known for years. And as I'm asking questions and we're talking, I'm learning things that are new. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. And I hope that when somebody hears it, they go, wow, that's a cool story. So Bootstraps and Battle Scars, right now it's just on YouTube. So I have my little YouTube channel and then I put it out through my social media, channels. And, now you're going to be impressed. I know you are.
Yeah.
I actually had one of my shorts had like 5,400 views last week.
Amazing. Good job.
I mean, I don't know. That sounds pretty
That's.
I think Joe Rogan is worried about me. I'm pretty
I
sure he's
mean,
going to call me any day now.
no, that I aspire to be that one day. Someone that threatens other people on the podcast mark, you know, where they're like, man, she's coming up so fast. But alas, I play the long game for some reason. I drag my feet. But I think this is incredible. And my question is, why are you sitting on the other episodes right now?
As far as having released them,
Yeah.
well, I think in my mind that I should release like one at a time, just so I can. So what I've done, my system is each podcast is about an hour, and then I cut them into shorts, and then for 2 weeks I release a new short every other day, just to get exposure. So yeah, I have a plan in my head on how I'm going to release them, and so after we're done here, I'm going to go take my fourth podcast. I'm going to break it up into shorts, and I'm going to schedule it for the next 2 weeks. So yeah, it's just my little process of how I'm releasing them. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I think that's great because otherwise you're looking at me who does 4 a week and I don't get time to edit all the time. So I don't get to do shorts for everyone. So I like your method. It sounds great and it's working for
Mean,
you.
not bad for a Harley guy,
Not bad for a Harley guy.
huh?
So Chris, tell us where everybody can find you, how they can work with you. Obviously the show is on YouTube, his podcast, right? So find that there. And then,
My website, bootstrapsandbattlescars.com. It'll be up and running here probably by Monday or Tuesday. But you can go there, you can see my podcast, you can go link to it, you can see my socials, you can see it, learn a little bit about me. There's a contact information page that's just, if you want to talk to me, I'd love to talk to you. I'm not going to bombard you with junk mail. I'm just, hey, if you have a, send me a message. When I get my books done, then I'll probably send a little email out saying, hey, here's my book. But yeah, through the website, Bootstraps and Battle Scars.
perfect. Any social media people can follow you on besides YouTube?
Yeah, so Chris Shurian is pretty unique, right? There's not a lot of us out there. So, I have a LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm even messing around with TikTok a little bit. But that's, yeah, and YouTube. Chris Shurian 2025 is my YouTube handle. So I'm easily accessible. I'm out there.
Perfect. And you guys, I have everything in the show notes so you can get connected with Chris. Make sure you go give him a follow. Is there one final thing you want to leave with everybody before we close out today?
Oh, you know what, Brandon? I think the message of not quitting is so important. Like, everyone's going to have their good days and everyone's going to have their bad days. And just remember that those bad days are temporary. They're just temporary. Just push through it, learn what you got to learn, and keep going. Don't ever quit. Quitting's not the answer. So I think if anyone it can hear that message and feel motivated and inspired to keep going, keep pushing forward, and work really hard to improve yourself and reprogram this thing right here, because that controls so much. It controls so much.
I love that. So, you guys listening, if you felt something during this conversation, if it stirred you, if it challenged you, or made you realize that you've been carrying more than you've been admitting, that's not an accident. Stories have weight. Your calling has weight. That God-given potential has weight. And avoiding it is always going to cost more than answering it. So, do yourself a favor, subscribe to this show. Not because this is entertainment, but because this is a space where people get to tell their truth, own their story, and stop hiding from what God put in their life. And if you're listening, thinking, I could never say this out loud, that is your cue to get ready, to write your elevator pitch, to build the courage, because one day you might find yourself sitting in this chair, owning your story instead of running from it. I love you guys.